حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Love has brought us here to celebrate the life of the eighth illumination of Imamat, the son of Musa Kazim, Imam Ali Rida alayhi salatu wa salam. And in celebration of his life, this life that he valued very much, and a life that was precious, we see that it was the respect. If you can turn down the echo, people here in this, the poetry is finished, so. It is the respect and the honor that Imam had for his life that he did not want it to live this life under a tyrant, under a zalim. That's why he was forced, compelled and forced to go into the successorship of Mamun. Just like his grandfather, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who refused to live and who refused to insult and dishonor and disrespect life by living it under a tyrant. He says, Inni la ara al-mauta illa sa'ada. I don't see death except for happiness. وَالْحَيَاتُ مَعَ الظَّالِمِينَ barama, and life with oppressors and under oppressors as a humiliation. Life is something that should be respected, should be valued. Imams valued life. When they said Hayhat min Nadilla, this slogan is to say what? That the life that Imam Hussein had, that this blessing that he had from Allah, he did not want to put this blessing or to dishonor this blessing or to disrespect this blessing by putting it under a tyrant like Yazid. And so for him it was a disgrace to put this blessing because he saw this as a blessing. Imams view life as a blessing. They look at it as a blessing and they treat it like a blessing. When Allah gave it to them, so now they value it. It's precious for them. Life itself, my friends, is beautiful. It doesn't need to be made beautiful. Understand this difference. Because when we look at life, just try to analyze how you look at life. Each individual, every one of us, how do we look at life? Is it a blessing? Do we view it as a blessing? Or do we view it as something that is a burden? And the way that we teach about life, that the way that we deal in life and teach to our children about life itself shows that we view life as something miserable and we have to make it better. You see, when we want to teach our children about how to make their life better, what do we say? For example, you might have heard this or you might have said it yourself. We all have experience of this. In order to make sure that they do their homework and give importance to education, ideas are given to our children like, If you don't educate yourself, you'll be flipping burgers in McDonald's. And your life will be messed up and you'll be miserable. Right? In other words, we are teaching them that, listen, life is miserable. You have to make it good. You see that? This is what we are teaching them. Meaning life itself, this is, you know, it's miserable. It's horrible. It's a mess. We have to make it better. Meaning what Allah gave us is not that good. We have to do the job for Allah to make it better. You see, this is our attitude towards life. Because we don't view life as a blessing. If we viewed life as a blessing, then we wouldn't need to make it better. We would understand how precious it is, and we would be happy knowing that we are blessed with life. We would be happy just like that. I'll give an example so that, you know, the children can also understand it really well, as well as the adults. Send aloud salawats. You know, and you can try this at home. If you have to give your son or your child a gift, let's say it's his birthday, right? And you bring him a gift from the dollar store, right? You buy him a plastic car, you know, made in China, dollar store, right? And so now you wrap it up in a very nice gift wrap and you bring it. And now when your son, he's all excited, it's his birthday, he's expecting a gift from you. Now when he opens that wrap, he's like all excited, thanks dad, thanks. When he opens it up, and what does he see? A plastic car, right? No brand name on it too, just a plastic car. He looks at it, now tell me what's his reaction. What would be his reaction? He would be like, well, you know, if he was good, right? If he was bad, you know, I wouldn't say it, you know, of the member. But let's say he's a good and decent kid, right? He's a decent kid. He has good akhlaq. Now, what's the best he would say? What's the best reaction you would get after him? He would be like, Dad, thanks a lot. You know, it's the thought that counts. That's what you'll get, right, from him? Now, let's say that from behind where he can't see, you pull out another gift. And lo and behold, it's right there in front of him, and he sees the other gift. Now, he's all excited again, and he opens it up. And when he opens it, what does he find? The Xbox One. The total entertainment system, right? He finds that. Now tell me his reaction. Right? Now, is it going to be, it's the thought that counts? You won't get it's the thought that counts. Now what you'll get, oh, Dad, you're the best. I love you. He'll be jumping up and down with it in his hand. And he'll be hugging you and saying, Dad, thank you. You're the best. I love you for this, right? This is the reaction he'll get. This is the reaction he'll get. Why? Because when he saw the first gift, he didn't view it as a blessing. When you saw the second gift, he viewed it as a blessing. When you view something as a blessing, then your reaction is different. You don't need to tell him, say thank you, son. Right? You don't need to do that because you yourself will be jumping up in joy with joy, up and down with joy, and you'll be saying thank you. My friends, when Allah gave us this gift of life, what kind of reaction do we have to this life? Do you think that Allah gave this life from the dollar store? That we are like, Allah, you know, it's the thought that counts. I mean, those people who don't view life as a blessing, what do they say? This is life. That's how life is. You know, this is their view of life. You know, that's life, man. That's it. That's all life is. They don't view it as a blessing. Those who view it as a blessing, they would never say that. Those who view life as a blessing, only they can be thankful for life. That's why when you hear Allah says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ, only a few of my servants are thankful. Why are a few servants thankful? Because only a few recognize this life that I've given them is a blessing. This, my friends, this is reality of life. When you look at life, if you're not reacting to life like that, if our way of living our life is just like, oh, you know what, it's just life, you know, and we just have to live it off. That's it, and just wait for death to come. Is that what life is? No, people who were thankful for life, when you look at them, they appreciated every moment of it. That's why when you look at Ahlul Bayt, when you look at Aimma, and when you see their life, not 1 minute, not one moment of their life was spent in any way except for thankfulness. That Allah, thank you for this blessing you have given me. That's why you see that prayer, how much prayer that you can't even, you have to pry them out of the prayer mat. I mean, for us, we have to force us to get on the prayer mat, right? We have to like force us, you know, get out. For them, you have to pry them out of it. That's how much they're attached. Why are they attached? Because of gratefulness. They know the value of Allah's blessing. And this is what we need to understand also, why this life is a blessing. And how is this a blessing? And yesterday I explained this little bit. And people said, you know, that we need to know the rest. So I said, all right, I'll say the rest of the story today. What is life? So that we can appreciate it. And that we can truly give thanks to Allah for this blessing. And live that life in the high spirit that you should live it in. It's not a miserable thing that we are like sulking all the time. A mu'min never sulks. He's always smiling. Why is he smiling for? He's smiling because he knows this is a blessing. Yes. Life, my friends, has three dimensions. Life has three dimensions. The first dimension of life is the length of life. And I explained that yesterday. The length of life is how long are you going to live for? How long is this life with you? Meaning, is this blessing there? And the answer to that is that you are going to live forever. Your life is eternal. This life that you have is not going to stop. You are going to be alive forever. Just understand it. You will be alive forever. There's no one who's going to come and say, okay, you will cease to exist on this day. No. Allah has given it. He's not going to take it back. And this life is going to be there. The minute we start to believe in that and start falling in love with an eternal life, then everything and all issues that we have will be slowly solved in this dunya. It will be solved in this dunya. This is the length of life. I explained that yesterday. I don't want to go into that now. Now the height of life, my friends. The height of life is what we take from this life here to our next phase there. And as I said, dunya and akhirat, this life we have are experiencing right now here, and the life we'll experience there is not different from each other. It's one life in two phases. You know, it's like, for example, our childhood and adulthood, right? You don't say, oh, now on this day, he's going to become a baligh, and so it's a whole different life now. You know, it's the same guy, you know, who was yesterday. Now he's baligh, becomes an adult. It's the same guy, the same life, right? That's the same way that we are alive here. When we die, we'll be still alive. No one's going to take it away from us. So now when this life is there, what we take from here to there, what we make of ourselves here to live our life there, is called the height of life. This aspect of life that we're talking about, what do you make of yourself? It all depends on what you do here and what you take from here to there. And since this is why the height of life is something that we don't feel the pleasure of the height in this dunya. And I'll repeat this again. So you pay attention to this, then I'll give you the example so you understand it. My friends, the height, what we achieved, what did I achieve? You know, we do so much things, right? We pray, we fast, we obey Allah, we abstain from haram. It's so easy to eat haram and then we abstain from it and say, no, I don't want to eat haram, I do this. But you see, the reward, the pleasure of this height that we are gaining, you don't feel it here. You don't experience it here. You do not see it here. Allah kept it hidden from you. And there's a reason why Allah kept it hidden from you. Because if He had shown you the pleasure of your height in this dunya, then it would lose its meaning. It won't have value anymore. You see, I know that everyone's like looking, what does that mean? And I'll explain that to an example so you understand it very well. Send us salawats. You know, obviously before I explain that, you know, I need to make something, you know, clear, right? And that's for all of us, right? Is that, my friends, understand this, right? Why are we here? You know, I mean, I have two options in front of me. We have about, I don't know, half an hour or more to go. I have two options in front of me. But it all depends on what you want. I will ask you a question and you answer it. My friends, really, in these majalis that we come here for, these speeches that we come here for, what do you want from this? Do we want to feel good or do we want to be good? Understand the difference, my friends. If we just want to feel good, then, you know, there's a whole different path I have to take. And if you want to be good, then there's a whole different path I have to take. Right? Really, if you give me 2 minutes, I can make you feel good. Right? 2 minutes. You know, there was a person, you know, an example I will give, you know, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he was making dua to Allah, and in that dua he says that Allah, Yawm al-Hashr, Yawm al-Tubla al-Sara'ir, the day of Hashr, the day of judgment, is going to be the day when the secrets of everyone will be exposed. Everything that you had hidden inside of you, all the evil and all that, is all going to come out in the open. All the dirty laundry, right in front of others. You know, people will see all the stains, right? And Rasulullah says to Allah, he makes this dua to Allah, he says that Allah, my ummat, do not expose them in front of others. Do not expose them in front of others. I mean, this is a heartfelt wish of Rasulullah, right? Caring about you. He says, don't expose them. And you know what Allah says in reply? He says, Inni ar'afu ibadi minka. He says, I love my servants more than you, my Habib. I love them more than you. You think that I will expose them in front of others? No, I will take them on one side of the ground of Hashr where no one can see what they are going through except for me. Not even you will know what happened to them. Subhanallah. Can you imagine that love Allah has for you? Subhanallah. Now, does that make you feel good? My friends, understand this, you know. I have many stories like this and we can go on. And these stories make you feel good, but they don't make you good. Understand the difference. They can make you feel good. They don't make you good. If you want to be good, that's a whole different thing. It's a whole different program. And this is why when you look at, when we want to see our relationship to the Imam, you know why Imam Ali Raza suffered? Because he had feel-good people with him, not good people with him. Imam suffered because they had feel-good people. You know what feel-good people are? A good example? They are fans. Imams are not looking for fans. They're looking for followers. They're not looking for fans. People are like, yeah, Imam, you know, and when the time comes, they all run away. You had 16,000 fans in Kufa, you know, all cheering the Imam, this and that. When the time came, they all ran. None of them were followers. You see, this is the difference. Imams are looking for followers. They're not looking for fans. We don't want to become fans or spectators, right? That we just make a whole lot of noise, and then, you know, the reason because we haven't done tarbiyah to ourselves and rectified ourselves. So now what happened is that when the imam needs us, then we'll be like, all right, you know what? I have a job. My job, you know, it's calling me. My wife is calling me. You know, and that's it, they're gone. So my friends, what do you want? You want to heat up the oven or you want to actually bake something? I can heat the oven up and it'll get hot, but nothing, if there's nothing baking inside, what's the use of a hot oven? What's the use of a hot oven? If you want to actually bake something, then send aloud salawats. The height of life, my friends, is what we take from here to there. What we make of ourselves. That is the height of life. What we achieve, what we gain from here, that's the height of life. Allah kept the pleasure of the height hidden from us. And the reason is because if He had made it known to us, then that height and whatever we are doing to achieve it would lose its meaning and value. For example, let's say that if every time I pray, the reward of prayer appears in front of me. Like every time I make my, you know, like for example, a 2-rakat prayer, $2,000 appear in front of me. Tell me what you'll be doing for the next 24 hours. You'll be minting money, right? If Allah had shown us the reward of good deeds or the punishment of bad deeds, then the deeds itself will lose meaning. The reason the deeds and actions have meaning is we don't see the result of it here. If every time, for example, we lie, a pimple appears on our face, would we lie knowing that there'll be a big, huge acne right in front of my face? We won't, right? I mean, the idea of Pinocchio, every time he lies, his nose grows, is what? If that happens, no one would lie. Then not lying would lose meaning, would not have value anymore. It wouldn't have value anymore. That's why the height that we achieve in this dunya, Allah has hidden it from us so that our height would have meaning. The pleasure of what we are doing here will be felt there. That's where the pleasure would be felt, my friends. And this is where we really need to understand why these two phases are there and why the height that we are achieving here, don't try to see what we have achieved here. Many people, for example, when they invest in something, they don't even let the investment give it some time to grow also. You know, you go to Ameritrade and you put in a trade, the next second you're there, what's happening? Listen, man, give it some time to grow. What are you doing? Right? Give it some time to grow. Why are you in a haste? Don't be in a haste. You know that, you know, this is what's going to happen. When you invest, when you put the effort in, those who are doing hard work at Moment Center, for example, many people who are selfless people, who do so much work for the center and all these things, don't think that you will see the pleasure of it here. The pleasure of what we are doing, whatever you're doing, maybe it's just picking up a cup from vacuuming the floor, that pleasure would be known in the akhirat. That will be your height there. And this, my friends, the ratio between the two, between dunya and akhirat, is this, my friends, I'll tell you. Akhirat, jannat, is so big that it cannot be compared to this whole universe put together. In fact, all the space and universe and galaxies that you see in this world, in this whatever we can experience, they don't even add up to the floor of Jannat. They don't even add up to the floor of Jannat. It is so high. So my friends, a small step here is a huge step there. Yes, a huge step there. You would be shocked at how much you grow with one small thing. When we read about the rewards of actions or ziyarat or any of these things, don't be shocked at it. They say, you know, how can, you know, one ziyarat of Imam Hussein is equal to 70 hajj. You won't even know how big a small step here is in the akhirat. It is said that one reciting one salawat is like thousands of years of height and light in Jannat. In other words, my friends, understand this. If one person has recited one salawat more than the person who has recited one less salawat, he would be looking up to that person, and that person would be so high he wouldn't even know how to get to him. And as an example, I'm saying this to you. So every small step here is a huge step in akhir. And it works the other way also when you do bad things. Really. When you do something wrong, that's how it happens. I want to give some examples, but you know, I don't want to be stuck here. We want to go elsewhere also. Really, my friends. And that's why whenever you do small things here, don't think it is small. Its effects are so big that you will be in a complete surprise, complete shock in the hereafter. It says that this is what I've gained just for doing that much? Subhanallah. That's why take this as a precious moment right now in your life, this life of yours, and make sure that every moment counts. This is our chance. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. When we look at life itself, Allah says, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهْوٌ وَلَّعِبٌ. He says, the life of this world is nothing but a game. It is nothing but a game. What is a game? Game is something that you play and you know it's not serious, right? Game is not serious. Is a game serious, you know? You know, when you play a game, for example, you're playing the game of life or Monopoly. Let's say, do you really take this seriously, get angry over it? Some people do. I've seen this happening, right? You know, I mean, you know, usually, you know, my experience in camps, right? Camp is just a game, right? Not like real or serious, you know? People do get serious, you know? They get serious, they want to win, and when they're losing, they're like arguing with their team and shouting at them this and that. This one big grown-up, you know, is like shouting at the kids, don't you see we are losing? Get your act together. You know, the kids are like crying, you know. Now, what would you tell to this guy if you see him doing that? Right? What would you tell him? Take it easy, man. Chill out. Take a chill pill. I mean, what's going on? It's just a game. It's only a game. Why are you taking it seriously for, right? This is how you deal with them, right? Whenever you know something is a game, you don't take it seriously, right? This is the way it is. My friends, Allah is saying, listen, the life of this dunya is a game. The life of this dunya is a game. Inna dar al akhirah lahay al hayawan. He says, the life of akhirah, now that is life. He says, that is life, this is a game. So what does that mean? It means take it easy here. Now Allah has made life like a game, the life here in this world. He made it like a game. All the problems we get in life, they're a natural part of life. Whatever problems you get, whatever issues you have in life, bad relationships, anger problems, short-temperedness, depression, whatever problem you have, accidents, diseases, whatever you have, my friends, these are a natural part of life. Why? Because life is a game. Have you ever played a game? Okay, we have, right? Now, those who have played games, for example, you know, you're playing, let's say, an Xbox game, right? You're playing an Xbox game. Now, let's say the game is that, I don't know, you're in this car and you're driving on an empty road with nothing. There's nothing on the road, nothing, and you're just driving. It's driving and driving. Tell me, how long can you play that game for before you get bored? He's driving, and you're like, okay, is there anything going to happen? It gets boring, right? You see, the game becomes fun when there are challenges. Game becomes exciting when there are challenges. If challenges are not there, it starts getting boring and you can't take it anymore. In fact, that, you know, such a game would be a punishment. Right? When your son doesn't do homework, put that on for him. You want to play this game now. That would be regarded as a punishment. Really, you know, this one time ago, there's a show called Twilight Zone. It's a sci-fi show, long time, in the 60s, right? As a kid, I used to watch it. So now when I watch that, one show, right, one of these shows, right, had this criminal who was caught, arrested, and he was shot by the police, and he dies, you know? So when he dies, you know, an angel comes to him and says, you know, I'm going to take you to your home. So at first, he's happy to meet an angel. He says, wow, am I that good? I thought I'll be going to hell. So now he goes there to his room. And in his room, he says, here, you're in this room. You can have anything you want. He says, anything I want? Wow, you know, he's happy. So he starts ordering stuff. I want a steak. I want this. I want that, you know. All these things start coming. Now, a week goes by, and the angel comes here every day. A week goes by, he says, man, you know, I mean, it's getting boring here. Getting boring here, you know. I mean, there I used to have fun getting things, this and that. Here it's like so easy. It's order it comes, and I feel bored over here. You know, I thought heaven would be better. So the angel looks at him and says, who says you're in heaven? The idea is that if something is redundant and monotonous, it's going to get boring. When there's some challenges given in it, obstacles that come, then you see the excitement comes. My friends, the problems we face here are just things that Allah has put in, challenges that Allah has put in life so that life can be interesting to live. That we can have interest in life. These are just issues of life in this dunya. That's it. What happened? I got into an accident. I ruined my car, totaled my car. Wow. You know, that's, you know, that's like a new challenge in your game. You see, something about, if you just had your nice and boring life every day, 9-to-5 job, come back home, you know, just, you know, watch TV for 3 hours after dinner, you know, and go to sleep and wake up and do the same thing again. Imagine how long can you go like that? You'll be a robot. And problems that are fixed here, because, you know, people say, well, you know, how do we fix our problems here? How do we become happy here? Well, tell me, I'll tell you this something, brothers and sisters. And understand these problems here can be easily understood by knowing what life is. That's the real answer to handling and taking control of your life and your problems, not trying to get Tylenol for your problems here. This is usually what happens. If you have ever been to these success seminars, how to be happy seminars, right, like Dale Carnegie type stuff, you go there, you pay $300, you go inside, and now he's trying to teach you how to be happy in life. How did he teach you? Hey, listen, do what I do. Just smile when you have problems. Just smile like this, E. And you're looking at this guy and say, are you serious? I mean, that's an insult to my intelligence. Really? You think I'm a monkey? You know, that you're going to train me to smile? I mean, we are human beings here. Really, is that how you're going to solve problems? He said, just smile like me. Of course, you are smiling because you have a room full of fools who paid $300 to you. Yeah, you looking at them and say, yeah, look at me, smile. I'm the one who paid the $300. And this is what happens. You go there to these seminars, you waste your time and money, and they insult our intelligence. We are human beings, my friends. There is no way that a restricted realm that we are living in, that a limited space that we are living in, this dunya, can ever make a human happy and be at the height of a human being. This dunya can never be the height of a human being. If this is our height, then this is a despicable height. Some people are, for example, happy, you know, in life. You know, you'll see some people, this is a false happiness. They're like, oh, you know, I have achieved all my dreams in life. I've achieved all my dreams in life. Now I can die happy. My only question to such a person is that how in the world you being a human being have made such low goals in your life that you have achieved in this dunya? You have made your goal so low, your standard so low that you are happy here. This is why how Allah asked this question in the Quran. أَرَضِيْتُمْ بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Are you satisfied with the life of this world? Meaning you have made your goal so low that you can be happy here? That is not a life to live. You should dream about great goals, and it's only your right to do so. You deserve better than this. You as a human being have been built for better than this. And you deserve better than this. This restricted place can never be your home. This is the height of life. One more thing remaining, and I guess in the next 10 minutes I will try to finish this up. The next angle of life, or what we call the dimension of life, is the width of life. Let me explain the width of life with one easy example for you to understand. Send aloud salawats. You know, someone, you know, got a green card in Pakistan. Yes, from a village somewhere. So he came to America. His children are here. So he comes over here, just off the plane, you know. Comes here, obviously everyone's happy that he's here. So his grandson says, hey, you know what? I have a basketball game, Grandpa. Why don't you come with me? So he goes to his first basketball game, right? He goes to the first basketball game to see who's playing. So he sees, you know, like 10 guys running after one ball. And like they are tired and even stealing from each other, you know. So he feels bad for them. He feels terrible. I said, well, what kind of thing is this, you know? So he excuses himself, goes to the store, buys 9 other balls, brings them over here, and throws them in the court. And everyone who are playing, they just stop playing and said, what's this? He says, now I got your own ball. Now everyone play with their own balls. Don't steal from others. They look at him. He says, what are you talking about? But Grandpa, what are you doing? He says, you see, everyone is stealing from each other, running after one ball, so I've got their own ball. Now you can play with your own ball. Be happy. And now I say, but, you know, it won't be a game if he had her own ball. Understand this, my friends. The concept of a game is built around restrictions and limitations. Understand this. It's built on limitations. If everyone had their own ball, it won't be a game anymore. The reason it's a game is because there's one ball and everyone has to run after it. Don't you think that Allah could have given all of us a mansion in this dunya? Don't you think that Allah could have given us everything in this dunya? Does He have, you know, shortage? Does He have shortage? He could have given everything. But then if He had, it wouldn't be a game anymore. It wouldn't be exciting anymore. It wouldn't be fun anymore. That's why He has made restrictions in this dunya, limitations in this dunya, so that when things are limited, everyone runs after it, and then the excitement of life comes through that. The excitement of life comes through the fact there's limitation. There's one job and 10 people are running after it. Right? There's one thing and everyone's running after it. It's not unlimited. It's not infinite. This is where excitement comes in. Life finds meaning in this aspect, my friends. The width of life is the possibility and capacity that we have here of using Allah's blessings. Allah can give you a lot of blessings. How much can you use? How much can you use here? Tell me. Right? For example, I say, you know, I'm so hungry I can eat a cow. Can I? No. I mean, you know, Allah can give me a whole cow to eat. I can't. Because I'm restricted here. I have a limitation here. You see, we are restricted here. We're limited here. We can't use Allah's blessings, all of it. That's why Allah, when He gives a blessing, that's it. This is all I can use. Subhanallah. No matter how much you have, you can't use it. A person, he was an arms dealer in the Middle East, you know, gave an interview in some newspaper, I remember it a long time ago, you know, and he was, you know, one of those people whose income is counted in the minutes. You know, he earns this much a minute. You know, like ours is like per month, you know. We're like lower on the food chain. Now this guy is way up there, right? You know, his income is counted in the minutes, right? He earns this much a minute. So the interviewer is so like awed by him. So, you know, he's asking him, so really tell me, you know, how much wealth do you have? Really? How much wealth do you really have? And in reply, and his reply was interesting, and that's why I'm trying to give this idea, right? So that you understand, his reply was interesting. After having this wealth that he earns in the minutes and all these things, and they're having the interview on his yacht, right? And she asked him, how much wealth do you actually have? You know what his answer was? He says, the wealth that I actually have is the food that I eat, the clothes that I wear, and the bed that I sleep on. Everything else is useless for me. It's not mine. I'm not using it. I'm like, what's the use of having these 100 rooms when I don't even sleep in it? You see, what's mine is what I use. That's my capacity to use the blessings of Allah. Now you understand that the idea of our wit is what? The capacity we have to use the blessings of Allah. Now, here it's restricted. There in Akhirat, these limitations and restrictions are going to be opened. Now, this one last point. How does it work? How do we unlock these limitations? My friends, there are two limitations we have. Two types of limitations we have. One type of limitation is called taqweeni limitations. These are natural limitations that I just spoke about. I want to lift 500 pounds. I want to bench press 500 pounds, but I can't. This is a natural limitation I have. I can't do it. It's not possible for me to do it, right? I can't do it. I can't, you know, like I want to drink, like, for example, whatever. I can't do it. After 2-3 glasses, I'm like, okay, I can't take it anymore, right? I can't do it. So these are natural limitations we have. Then there's another type of limitations that are not natural. These are called tashri'i limitations. Tashri'i limitations are the limitations that Shari'at puts on us. That the law, Allah's law puts on us. These are not natural. You know, can you eat a pig? Yes, you can. It's haram, but you can. Right? You can eat a pig. What is making you not eat it? You see? The Sharia, you are limiting yourself because of the Shariat. Right? Can you drink beer? Yes, you can. But what is making you not drink it? Sharia. That's it. Understand this, my friend. Sharia has limited us in certain ways. And our natural existence has limited us in certain ways. We have two restrictions. One we choose to follow. One we have to follow. Understand? One we choose to follow, one we have to follow. We have to do it. There's no other way out of it. And these are limitations, right? These are limitations. And now, these natural limitations, how do we unlock them? These are two limitations. You know, there's a joke that, you know, people have told me this, you know, because the Shariat limitations are told by ulama. The natural limitations are told by the doctors. So they say, Maulana, what can we eat now? Half the things doctors made haram, half the things ulama made haram. Right? And there's nothing else to eat now. You know, it's finished. These are two limitations. You know, I'm diabetic. If I take sugar, I'm going to hurt myself. Right? That's the way it is. It's a natural limitation on me. Now, how do I open these limitations? These are locks that we have. I want to use more of Allah's blessings. I can't use it because I'm limited and restricted. So Allah says, okay, I will give you the keys to open it. I will give you the keys to unlock these limitations. That's Allah. What are these keys? He says, the keys of opening the takwini limitations is by doing the tashri'i limitations. You limit yourself by my will in this dunya, I will open your natural limitations in the akhirat. Every time you pray, you're opening your limitations and restriction in the akhirat. Every time you obey Allah, you are opening your limitations in the akhirat. This is what you're doing when you're following the shariat of Allah, when you're following the commands of Allah. Every moment that you follow the commands, you're opening your own ability to use Allah's blessings there. That's why Jannat is not in one place, it's divided in many levels to the extent of how much you have opened your restrictions and your limitations, how much you have opened it. And this is, my friends, when we look at it, this is the reality of life. If person understand what life is, then every moment of life, living it would be a pleasure. Living it would be just happiness. And this is why when we look at the lives of the Imams, and when they met challenges, the more challenges they had, the more they enjoyed it. The more hardships they had, the more they were in pleasure. In fact, they found their itminan in the hardest of situations. This is the reality. Allah calls Imam Hussein nafs-e mutmain in the most harshest of situations. Meaning he found his itminan in the toughest of times. This is, my friends, when someone understood what life is and knows that any challenge that comes forward, this is a source of pleasure for me. And inshallah, Allah helps us and makes us live a life that is the life of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. For the sake of the Imam that we are remembering today, you know, and his presence in this dunya, which is a source of happiness for Rasulullah and a source of happiness for the Imam of our time, may Allah give us the tawfiq to be his follower and Shia. May Allah increase his love and marifat in our hearts and minds. May Allah make us follow and our children follow the path of Imam Ridha. And may Allah make him pleased with us. May Allah hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman. Make us his helper when he comes. وآخر الدعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلوات على محمد وآل محمد Inshallah. Let's read Dua-i Sahat inshallah for all those people who are sick and ill, all those people who are suffering throughout the world, mu'mineen who are suffering throughout the world. Let us read Dua Shafaat for those mu'mineen who are defending the shrine of Hazrat Zainab, so that they are strengthened to defend the shrine and doing the job on our behalf there. And it's only our, only their right that we should be praying for them and to make them stronger. So let us, for all of them, keep them in mind, and let's read Amma Yuji 5 times. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء 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 صلوات على محمد وعلى آله